Skyline's new chicken chili is here. Now you can enjoy that legendary Skyline taste with a new protein option. Try Skyline's chicken chili on Waze, Coney's, and all your Skyline favorites. Feeling good. It's Skyline time.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/audioboom.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
We certainly hope you're having some fun because we are right here betting around the rim. It is Keith Irizarry with you, SiriusXM Channel 204 on the radio, Sports Grid Radio. You got us on MSG Networks as well. Chris and John and James and Steve and EJ, what a team we have here on this show. Each and every Saturday and Sunday, we just went up against the clock, and I'm being told that tie goes to the runner is what we're going to go with. So we're going to say yes. I got all six topics in the 2 minutes, in the fastest 2 minutes of Sports Talk TV and radio. All right, we got some minutes to play with right here. Let's talk about the Brooklyn Nets and the Dallas Mavericks. I told you in hour number one, I didn't feel like we gave enough love to this game. Luka Doncic clearly should be in the MVP conversation. He's at plus 1,100 at FanDuel. I broke down a few of the reasons why. All of his numbers have gone up over the month of February. Minutes are up, three-point shooting is up, free throw percentage is up, points are up. Dallas Mavericks are actually winning games. I know they lost the other night. But then there's a weird one that I think we should throw in. And I'll give credit where credit is due. My producer, Chris Kofsky, brought it up to us as we were kicking around ideas all week. Him, myself, and John, we are on this long text thread, and we continue to throw ideas back and forth at each other. It's how we brainstorm. He brought up James Harden. So then, what do you do? Obviously, you got to start crunching some numbers. And one of the best places to go is StatMuse. They do a great job on Twitter, but also can do our own crunching as well. Let's bring up the StatMuse tweet for you for our TV audience, and I'll read it for the radio audience. James Harden is averaging career highs with the Nets in field goal percentage, three-point percentage, rebounds per game, and assists per game. The only one that doesn't surprise me there is the assists per game. He said when he came over here was clearly ready to be the facilitator, the point guard. Kyrie Irving and James Harden even had that conversation. I can remember on these airwaves with you guys, I said it would not shock me if James Harden messed around and averaged 12 or 13 assists per game. Clearly he can. We know he can. He has changed the dynamic of the Brooklyn Nets. Kevin Durant hasn't played in, what, six games, going to continue to miss games. They need Kevin Durant to win an NBA title. Kyrie Irving missed, you know, a week and a half of action. They need Kyrie Irving to win a title. But James Harden is going to be the ultimate decider in this. And let me break it down for you. Let me tell you why. Kevin Durant plays defense and offense. Kyrie Irving isn't really asked to play defense, never really has, but he can hit a big shot. So you know those two dudes. James Harden's track record is... I don't play defense well. I sometimes fake playing defense, and I'm going to jack up as many shots as possible. As a Brooklyn Net, his usage rate is down. His shots are down. His assists per game are up. Oh, by the way, when he showed up, they went to a rough patch of defense. I say that word begrudgingly because it was a lackluster defense. I mean, it was gross when he first got there. They've now found themselves as a top 10 defensive rating team in the month of February. And James Harden is actually playing defense. Give credit where credit is due, because James Harden has cultivated a new culture in Brooklyn and has changed the perplexion of what you believe he is. He's no longer dribble, 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 iso, 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 jack up shot. He's dribble, dribble, pass. He's dribble, dribble, drive. And as we dribble, dribble, drive, we welcome in our radio audience. It is Keith Irizarry with you, Betting Around the Rim, Sports Grid Radio, Sirius XM, Channel 204. Thank you so much for spending some time with us on this Saturday. As we move on from the Brooklyn Nets and the Dallas Mavericks, maybe we'll dive back into them a little bit later. And of course, tomorrow, my guess is they're the lead story on Betting Around the Rim. We'll probably be breaking down Luka versus Harden, Luka versus Kyrie, and hopefully Porzingis plays tonight as well. We got a big slate of college hoops, so let's bring in some of those graphics for the TV audience. I'll break down a few of these games. I'm excited about Michigan and Indiana because I just want to see how Michigan continues to roll along. This is a team that's now 16-1, and they are clearly one of the three best teams in America. Michigan 5-1 against the spread in their last six. Indy, the total has gone over in five consecutive games, so I like the over in that game. Texas and Texas Tech is another intriguing game for me because you're looking at two teams that have had some slips, some stumbles, some falls. Texas 1-7-1 against the spread in their last nine games, so we don't like that number. Texas Tech 0-5 against the spread in their last five games, and Texas Tech has lost three consecutive games. Not sure what to make of it, but I think it's going to be a fun game. Let me give you another one, too. How about Tennessee and Auburn? And if I'm going to be honest, there's a way I lean towards in this game. I'm not going to give it to you right now because it may be seen a little bit later in the show during our best bets. It just might be. But Tennessee needs to right the ship. Let's just put it that way. Tennessee has had a bunch of clunkers. We know they can play defense. If there was ever a right the ship game, it is this one against Auburn, who is playing really bad basketball. Chris, let's roll in Baylor and Kansas. Let's flip that graphic for everyone out there. I want to talk about Baylor and Kansas really fast. Joe Lisi will join me in just about 20 minutes. Talk about that as well. But this is the game of the night. You've got number 2 versus number 17. You've got a game that should see lots of points. Both of these teams go over. Got some of the best guards in America on the Baylor side of things. Jared Butler is in the conversation for player of the year. Kansas is more of a team that relies on their bigs. Something has got to give. Kansas is playing really well. They are back in the mix to maybe be a Sweet 16 type of team. But oh, those Baylor Bears. I can't bet against them. Go Bears. Go Bears. Da Bears. Professor Keith is back in the house coming up next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
The Sports Grid Network.
You think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims. Sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/audioboom.
Hey, yo, we are back here. Keith Irizarry betting around the Rams Sports Grid, Sports Grid Radio, Sirius XM Channel 204, MSG Plus, and so many of these streaming devices. We are cruising along here on this Saturday morning, having a bunch of laughs, but it is time to get educated. It is Professor Keith. He's in the house. Let's go. Oh, yes. Let's do it. So the professor is in the house. In this week's roll call, we are looking for collegiate basketball players that maybe you're going to have to take notice of in March Madness. These are players that, and listen, if we're going to be honest, some of the stipulations are, one, I can only pick one player per team. So if I'm going to pick a Gonzaga player, I can't pick more than one. I only have to pick one Baylor player, only one Ohio State player. All right. So that those are the rules. Okay. And then secondly, I'm going to be looking for teams that might make a long run in the NCAA tournament. Now, the first name on my list technically is not even eligible to be in the NCAA tournament right now. Come on, NCAA, let Cade Cunningham and the Cowboys in. And Cade is number one on my list, or number 10, I guess you could say, as we go from 10 down to one. Cade Cunningham is dynamic. He is a fantastic freshman player, and his numbers have been staggering all year long. 18.7 points per game, giving you 6 rebounds per game, shooting almost 44% from behind the arc, and he has 19 or more points in 6 of his last 7 games. I am all in on Cade Cunningham as being, you know, a Carmelo Anthony type, a Steph Curry type, a Michael Beasley type, you know, a player that single-handedly carries your team to the Sweet 16, the Elite Eight, or further. Let's go. Number 9 on the list, we go to Villanova. Could have went with Gillespie, but I'm going to go with Jeremiah Robinson Earl from the Wildcats. He's almost a walking double-double, 15.5 points per game, 7.5 rebounds per game. His monster games, I wrote them down for you, 27 points against Marquette, 14 and 17 against St. John's, and then 23 against Seton Hall. He's had 12 or more points in 6 of his last 7 games. I like me some JRE, baby. JRE is the nickname I am giving him. Number 8 is Miles McBride. I'm a big fan of Miles McBride, and here's why. Dude gets buckets. Heart of a champion. And another reason is I look at West Virginia and I see a team that is putting things together since February 6th as wins over Kansas, Texas Tech, Texas, and then TCU. But it's a team that's clicking at the right time, which means McBride might be going for a long run in the NCAA tourney. He's a player we spotlight as a potential breakout player in the NCAA tournament. And remember, these are not all just the cream of the crop best players in America, although the next player we get to is on that list, and he's probably going to win the Player of the Year award. It is Luka Garza, Garzilla. Iowa's a weird team because I've been touting them as a team to watch in the Big Ten. It was a bad loss to Michigan this week. And maybe we should give it a little bit more credit to the Wolverines for the big win as opposed to the bad loss for Iowa. But anytime you're Luka Garza, and you're now the all-time leading scorer in Iowa history, you know you're really good at basketball. I'm a little worried that team doesn't have as much depth as I was hoping they had, and maybe they're a team that could get picked off. But if they make a run, it is Luka Garza. I mean, listen, dude has had just one single-digit scoring game all year long, and that was in a win. They didn't need him against Michigan State early in the year. Oh, by the way, Michigan State might be a team we'll talk about a little bit later with Joe Lisi, because Michigan State is making a run into the NCAA tournament. Number six, how about Evan Mobley? Bad loss this week. Not a great look for USC there, but Evan Mobley has all of the, and again, like if we're going to talk about players that can help your team make a run, Evan Mobley fits the mold of the Carmelo Anthony's, Steph Curry's, the Michael Beasley's, those freshmen. Steph Curry wasn't a freshman when he made the run, but the Beasley's and the Carmelo's who make a run when you don't really know a lot of the other players on the team. Evan Mobley, what I like about him too is the offense is going to be there. He's going to get you 16, 17 points per game, 8 rebounds per game. He's also playing defense. He's an elite level defender. Actually, you know who Mobley reminds me of? And it just jumped out to me. He's got a little Anthony Davis to him. Now, Anthony Davis had a better team around him, which is why Kentucky made a long run that year that Davis and him, Davis and the Wildcats win that title. But Evan Mobley has some Anthony Davis to him. If you don't stay up late and watch those West Coast games, I implore you, before all is said and done and before you're going to see him playing in the NBA, like, watch him. How about this? 13 games this year that he has had 3 or more blocks. That's Evan Mobley. How about it? All right, well, we go to Ohio State, and I knew I needed an Ohio State player here. We could clearly put Dwayne Washington Jr. on here. I like EJ Liddell as a potential breakout player if the Buckeyes get to, let's say, the Final Four. EJ is in charge of guarding whomever the biggest guy is on the opposing team. He's a really good defensive player. He can hit the outside shot. He's giving you about 16 points per game, giving you about 7 rebounds per game. 2 or more threes made in 3 consecutive games. So that's another number you jump out at, because who shines often during March Madness? Guys that can shoot. And EJ can shoot 19 or more points in 3 consecutive games as well. EJ Liddell, a two-way player, a 3-and-D, whatever terminology you want to use. I'm all in on some EJ. Number 4 is Ayo Dosunmu. Now, here's the deal with Ayo. He's probably not going to play this weekend. My guess is he'll miss a few games, has the fracture on the face. I don't remember if it's a broken nose or just a fracture on the face or whatever it is. But 21 points per game, 5-5, 40% for 3-point line. Again, he can hit the outside shot. I like that. Double-digit points in every game this season he has played. Has gone over 30 points 4 times this year as well. And Illinois has had big win streaks. They had a win streak of 7 going from January to February. That shows me that they can put together multiple games in a row where they can dominate and they can be the best team on the floor. Give me Ayo as a potential breakout player. And again, I know that he's up for awards, but a potential breakout player that the world will know now when we get to the NCAA tournament. Hunter Dickinson is on this list at number 3. Again, there were a bunch of names from Michigan we could have talked about, but Hunter Dickinson is probably going to be a double-double guy when we get to the tourney. I think Michigan will be in the Final Four. I don't see how they don't make it that far. So again, we are looking for value with a player that their team is going to take them for. Dickinson has 15 points per game, 8 boards per game, 1.6 blocks per game, almost 70% from the field. 5 games this year, he's had 3 or more blocks. Again, give you some defense for double-doubles this year. Number 2 is the youngster, Jalen Suggs. And again, I could have picked Kispert here because he's really, really, really good at basketball. But Suggs is the straw that stirs this drink. Suggs does everything. 14, 5, 4, 2, 27 minutes per game, and just 1 win this year in single digits for Gonzaga. About as dominant as you could ask of. Number 1 on my list is Jared Butler. And again, I do not believe that Jared Butler is the best player in America. I think that if Baylor is in the final game or in the Final Four, it's going to be because Jared Butler has a few 20-point games, has a few games of like 2 or 3 steals. I mean, he's had 9 games this year with 3 or more steals in a game. Jared Butler sets the table for the Baylor Bears. Baylor coming off that pause, had a little bit of a tough first half. I think they do well tonight against Kansas. We already talked about that. And obviously I'll talk with Joe Lisi coming up in the next segment about Baylor and Kansas and what he thinks, how that one will play out. But Jared Butler is at the top of this list of Professor Keith's roll call. And this was a fun one. Some big names there, some big teams, lots of value. Hope you enjoyed it. Jared Butler, you are number one on my list. We will roll along. It is Betting Around the Rim. I am Keith Irizarry. Keep it locked right here. Do not go anywhere.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Betting Around the Rim. It is Keith Irizarry with you each and every Saturday and Sunday morning from 10 a.m. to noon Eastern. And each and every week we get our guy, Joe Lisi. You see him all over these airwaves. Go for the two on Twitter. Joe, what's up, man? How you doing?
Oh, just another college basketball and college football Saturday, Keith. Chomping at the bit for today's action.
Yeah, let's dive into this college hoops league. I think there is some intrigue in some of these games. Maybe not necessarily for the number of the games, but some of the times I'm just looking to see if teams continue their dominating ways. I want to start with Michigan, Indiana. Listen, Michigan's going to win this game, or at least we would think so, right? Michigan's one of the two or three best teams in America, but it's a kind of a large number for them to win. How do you see this game?
Yeah, I think it could be a letdown spot for the Wolverines. Look at the gauntlet that they just went through. They went on the road, beat Wisconsin, then they followed that up with another road victory last week against top-ranked Ohio State, and then they faced Luka Garza in Iowa Thursday night and got through that matchup and covered. Now they go on the road to face a blue-collar Indiana team that lost to Michigan State last Saturday. I think Michigan definitely wins, but I like Indiana. This line opened up at 8. They bet it up to 8.5 last night. It's down right now at the FanDuel Sportsbook to 7.5. I'm on the Hoosiers in this matchup to keep it close.
Yeah, I like that you and I, and now it's, I guess this is the third or fourth week that you and I are working together. We're starting to think the same way, because that's the same thing I was thinking. Like, I like Indiana to keep it close. I think Michigan wins, but Indiana stay close. Who's the most important player on Michigan? I just did my professor roll call there, and I had Hunter Dickinson as the guy. Do you agree, or is there someone else you look at that would be the reason why Michigan makes a run in the tournament?
No, I think it is Hunter Dickinson. He is the catalyst of that offense. As he goes, so does the Michigan Wolverine offense in terms of the perimeter shooting, the low post. They have great ball movement. So I agree with you. And you look at that matchup Thursday night. I mean, Iowa pushed them to the limit. That was a perfect spot for the Iowa Hawkeyes to really assert themselves in the first half. And that offense really buckled down, and they never allowed Iowa to get the lead. And that's why they pulled away in the second half. So going to be very tough in the first half, though, for the Michigan Wolverines. They need to start fast. I want to see where their mindset is heading on the road to Bloomington.
Texas and Texas Tech is another marquee matchup. Two top 25 teams, whether you want to call them rivals or not, we can throw that neither here nor there. Texas Tech is struggling as of late.
Yeah, they are, and they've dropped three straight. And when on the flip side, you have a Texas team that blew the big lead against West Virginia last Saturday. They follow that up with a quality home win against top-ranked Kansas. Now they go on the road. I just go and look at the physicality of the Texas Longhorns. They haven't played a road game since the first week of February. Going on the road against a blue-collar team that needs the victory. Give me Mac McClung and the crew. I think they bounce back in a big way. Lined open up at 3. It's right now 4 at the FanDuel Sportsbook. I'm on the Red Raiders. I think it'll be close early, but in the second half, I do feel Texas Tech pulls away in this ballgame.
Yeah, against the spread numbers, I was looking at both of these teams have stunk as of late. Tech is 0-5 against the spread in their last 5 games. Texas 1-7-1 against the spread in their last 9 games as well. All right, so you like Mac McClung. You like Texas Tech. I think I'm with you on that one as well. Not as firm on it. I want to dive into Tennessee and Auburn. Auburn, they've lost, what, 6 of their last 7 games. They've basically mailed it in. Their season is over. Tennessee is a team I feel like each and every week you and I keep coming back to because they're confusing. They're now number 25 in the land. This line is now at 7.5, moved up from 7. How do you view the Volunteers going into this game against Auburn?
Well, they got a quality victory earlier in the week against Vanderbilt, but Scottie Pippen Jr. did not play in that matchup. They still laid 8 points. They blew it up to 12 and still found a way to cover against the Commodores. Now they go on the road again, and you mentioned Auburn. They have mailed it in. Sharif Cooper and the crew, when they got blown out a couple of weeks ago against LSU, they really haven't stepped up. This is a very tricky line, but I'm still going to go with the better defense, Keith. I like Tennessee. They need to peak right before the SEC tournament. I like Springer and that offense. They're a blue-collar team. I just don't have enough confidence in the Auburn Tigers at home to cover this line. Tennessee needs the game. I think they dominate this ball game from start to finish.
Any chance you're touching that 145, the over-under?
No, because we know that, you know, Tennessee's only allowing 62 points per game. If they're on their A game, Auburn might not get a lot of points in this matchup, might not break 50, especially from a mindset perspective. I don't know if Bruce Pearl has lost this team at this point in the season.
All right, so if we keep it here in the Big Ten, again, Joe Lisi joining me, Keith Irizarry on Betting Around the Rim. Illinois and Wisconsin. Illinois playing at Wisconsin. I would venture to guess if Ayo Dosunmu was definitely playing today, this line would look different. We have it at 4.5, Wisconsin as the faves.
Yeah, now Illinois dominated this matchup in Champaign earlier in the month. They won this ballgame by 16 points. You mentioned IU out for this ballgame, but Illinois is still shooting 50% from the field. You have a team in Wisconsin that's only shooting 42% from the field. I got to go with the better perimeter shooting team. Wisconsin needs to play their A game just to cover this 5-point spread. Illinois is more athletic with or without IU. I think they win this ballgame. Like them plus the 5 points. Also like them on the money line to win the ballgame outright.
Yeah, I'm with you too. All right, so again, we're lock synced right now because I was confused. I know I was gone, but this Illinois team is just better than Wisconsin. Like, just as simple as that, I feel like they're just better.
They are. They're better perimeter shooting. They're more athletic. They get better and more rebounds than Wisconsin. I just don't have enough confidence in Trice and that offensive scheme. They really, in this ballgame, to win and cover 5 points against Illinois, they're going to have to shoot about 52, 53% to be on their A game. That's asking a lot out of an offense that's only converting, like I mentioned, 42% from the field. So we'll see how it plays out in Madison, but I got to go with the better, more athletic team in the Fighting Illini.
Couple of minutes still to play with. Joe Lisi joining me, Keith Irizarry betting around the rim. Let's go to Oklahoma and Oklahoma State. I said on the early line, I was filling in earlier this week, and I said it earlier today, I don't normally do religion on the show, right? But I'm praying right now. NCAA, please let Oklahoma State into the NCAA tournament. We all need Cade Cunningham in that March Madness. With all that being said, how do you view Oklahoma, Oklahoma State?
This is a tough one because Oklahoma State got the victory over Texas Tech as an underdog in overtime during the week. Now Oklahoma and Austin Reeves are home. It's Bedlam. It's a 5-point spread. I would lean to Oklahoma here because I think they're the better defensive team, and Oklahoma State's offense revolves solely around Kay Cunningham. Not going to be easy, but I would lay the 5 points with Oklahoma here.
Ooh, and on this one, I'm going the opposite way of you. It's the first time that I'm doing that, I think, since we've been working together. I think Oklahoma State keeps this close. I think there's a late basket from Oklahoma State. Makes it like a 2-3-point game, something like that. It's going to be in the balance. I like Cade Cunningham on a big stage. He knows the world is going to be watching. And if for some reason they don't play in the NCAA tournament, he knows his college career is starting to wind down a bit. West Virginia, Miles McBride was on my roll call list as a player to watch in the NCAA tournament. We've talked a lot about West Virginia as a team that's starting to hit their stride in the right direction. I think they win this game easily. I know Kansas State had a nice win earlier in the week, but with that, how do you kind of look at West Virginia and how are you handicapping them as we get prepared for March Madness?
Yeah, I'm with you in terms of West Virginia. I think they covered this 14.5-point number. They blew out Kansas State earlier in the year. I just don't think Kansas State has the playmakers to keep up with Miles McBride and that high-powered offense. They are a hot and cold team. As Miles McBride goes, so does that offense. So if they're on and they're shooting around 48-49% like they have during this run, they could beat anybody within the Big 12, including Baylor. Going to be very difficult because from a defensive perspective, I still think they're a little weak down low under the post, but we'll see how it plays out. I still think they can make a run to a possible Sweet 16 appearance in the NCAA tournament, but it does revolve around Miles McBride and that high-powered offense.
Tonight, Joe, is a multi-TV type of night. You need to watch Dallas and Brooklyn on the NBA side of things, and you need to watch Baylor and Kansas because the Bears are in their second game back from their pause, struggled a little bit in that first game back, kind of want to see what they have out there on the floor, and kind of just want to see how, like, if they're lathered up yet. But Kansas, listen, they're no slouch. Where are we leaning on this one?
This is a tricky line, Keith. It's only 5 points, right? And you just look at how Baylor's dominated the Big 12 coming off the methodical win over Iowa State. Kansas played them well and actually covered on a last-second three. They were getting 9 points on the road in Waco. Now they're only getting five. I'm going to close my eyes and take the Kansas Jayhawks. I think they strike the upset tonight over Baylor.
Wow. All right, so When I looked at this game, you know, you look at Baylor with the guard play, and Kansas has actually struggled against guards, and Kansas is going to be more about what they can do inside out, right? The big men kind of setting the pace and then hitting some outside shots. Why would you lean more Kansas then?
You just look at some of these teams that have come off a hiatus. It's taken them a couple of games to get into their rhythm, and even though Kansas struggled the other night, over the last five games, they have an identity. I'll buy into that. More consistent at this point in the season. Baylor coming off the layoff. I just don't like that right here, right now on the road.
Hard to argue with you. 45 seconds left. Michigan State has been the hottest team, maybe in America, and they're getting wins. They got a win over Ohio State, and they still have Michigan twice on their schedule. Are they an NCAA tournament team?
I think they are right here, right now. I mean, that quality win over Ohio State and Dwayne Washington, they dominated. And it started a couple weeks ago with the win over Indiana. So I'm buying into Tom Izzo. Has them peaking at just the right time.
Doesn't he always? What is it? Death taxes and Tom Izzo. I think that's what some people say. Joe, you're the best. We'll chat again next week. Watch Joe later today on Sports Grid on In-Game Live. Keith Irizarry, betting on the rim.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Here, Keith Irizarry, betting around the rim, Sports Grid, Sports Grid Radio, Sirius XM, Channel 204, so many streaming devices. Well, bring in Worldwide Wob. You see him on our airwaves, part of FanDuel. He is everywhere. Rob Perez, what's up, man? How you doing?
Just another night in the NBA, my friend. Every day brings you something different, whether it's the Miami Heat winning streak. It's been a while since we've had some off-the-court drama, but every day, something different, and it keeps you on your toes, and it sure as hell keeps you up late at night. So, I'm here, which is all that matters.
Yeah. Dude, the whole staying up late and then getting up early thing, like, I'm used to it, but still, there are some moments, like last night, you know, you got your Blazers and Lakers. I honestly, if I'm being honest, I was tired. I wanted to go to bed. I didn't. I'm happy that I didn't. I got a chance to watch the game, but that's not where I want to start. I want to start with Kemba Walker and the Boston Celtics, because I opened the show talking about this, how important Kemba is to this team if they make the run. I still think we can't judge them without Marcus Smart, but how important is Kemba if this Celtics team wants to be one of the two or three best teams in the East?
I would still say we're at a small sample size in the season because we're not even at the All-Star break. So I'm going to give the Boston Celtics a little, not a pass, but I'm going to give them some leeway here because Kemba Walker came back to the season late. He was injured. He was coming back. All right. So he gets a little time to get going, but we're at the point where it was starting to get late a little early when it came to Kemba Walker. And when they're losing games because he's not making shots down the stretch or he's not playing well, you start to see some correlation of, well, the Celtics aren't winning when Kemba doesn't play well. Does this mean something? Because the two Jays, Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown, have been awesome. There's a reason why they're both all-stars when the team is under 500 because they are amazing talents. And that's not to say Kemba Walker isn't. But Kemba Walker is a point guard, and Kemba Walker has a high usage percentage. Kemba Walker, being a point guard, has the ball in his hands down the stretch of these games, which are one or two possessions in the clutch. And what we know from Kemba is that he's got the reputation of being cardiac Kemba. So he's going to get the ball down the stretch. But when he is not scoring those superhuman, Superman type of shots from the nail on the foul line with that patented step back, he doesn't give you enough on the defensive side to make up for that. He's not in the category of like Trae Young when it comes to being picked on the opposite side where the other team goes switch hunting in the high pick and roll to put Kemba on that person, but it's pretty damn close. And if Kemba is not able to score baskets on the other side, all of a sudden his net rating isn't in the black anymore. It starts to go negative because when he can't give you that type of performance in those game-winning plays, what's the point of giving him the ball at this usage rate? He's not 6'11" Giannis Antetokounmpo, Ben Simmons, who can make up for not scoring in different ways. The Celtics are going to go as far as Kemba Walker can take them, not only because he occupies so much of the salary cap space, but because of how much he has the ball in his hands when it matters most. And Keith, when the ball's in his hands, you know what that means? It's not in Jaylen Brown's hands, and it's not in Jason Tatum's hands. So when he's got the possession of it, he better make it count.
All right, Worldwide Wob is joining us. I am Keith Irizarry, betting around the rim. I'm going to peel back the curtain for everybody out there. So before the interview here, the spot here, we told Wob that we were going to play him some Rick Carlisle sound, didn't tell him exactly what it is. So I want his like genuine reaction to this, because when Rick Carlisle speaks, typically we like to listen, says a lot of really smart things. This one, I scratched my head a little bit. All right, roll it, guys.
He's just a very unique player, a very unique person. You know, the wiring of people like Luka Doncic, Michael Jordan, LeBron James, Larry Bird, you know, Kobe Bryant, guys that have this laser-like focus in these situations. It's difficult to explain, you know, how their mind and their brain works. But from what I've seen over the years, and this is, you know, over three decades now, you know, as the game gets tighter and the moment gets bigger, their focus is only.
I love Luka. I do. 3 years in, is it too early to mention him with those guys?
Well, Keith, first of all, before we started rolling here, you sold me on the fact that Carlisle was comparing Luka to LeBron and Jordan. And this is why you got to either read or listen to the full clip. Because sometimes when it's aggregated and consolidated, you don't get the full story. And what I heard from Carlisle there is that he said his wiring is like LeBron and Jordan. And that I can agree with. Like, if you put him in any other category with LeBron and Jordan, I would have, like, been flabbergasted. But is he built the same way? Does he have the same killer instinct? I think he was speaking more to his potential because he sees a lot of what makes those guys great in him. By no means did he say, right now at this point in his career, you have to start considering him being in that point in the near future. So is it a little biased for sure. And he's the head coach of the Dallas Mavericks. He should be gassing up his best player in the franchise cornerstone like that. But I think it's a fair assessment. I wouldn't go as far to say as that Rick printed a headline on the back of a newspaper that says Rick Carlisle compares Luka to Jordan and LeBron. And I think it's a little bit of a stretch.
That is why we wanted the honest reaction. All right, I want to go further with Luka, though. So, big game, obviously, tonight, and tough loss. Porzingis didn't play the other night against the Sixers. I tweeted this out, and I got a little pushback from it. We all know LeBron and Embiid, they're the front runners for MVP. We know that. But what we do, and you do this as well, you're always looking for some value, right? Like, how can I give a better some value on someone? If I told you Luka at plus 1,100, as we stand right now on FanDuel for MVP, was good value because the team is playing so well as of late, take away the one game against the Sixers on Thursday night, am I crazy to think there's value again on Luka?
1,100, the number itself may be a little short, because to win the MVP this year, you're going to have to finish in the top four at the bare minimum in your conference, because when your competition is LeBron and Embiid, they're likely going to be top three, if not top one, when it's all said and done. And if you're not top four, you're not getting any votes. I mean, this is a subjective award voted on by the media, and the media has shown precedent that they value winning more than anything. Now, we can get into the narratives of he didn't have Porzingis. He's running with Dorian Finney-Smith, Tim Hardaway Jr., and Willie Cauley-Stein, and he's still putting up these numbers and winning these games. I'm totally there for the narrative, but that same narrative applies to Damian Lillard, who's carrying the Portland Trailblazers and has them well ahead of the Dallas Mavericks currently. You can say the same about LeBron James, who's playing every single game back-to-backs 40 minutes a night without Anthony Davis in year 18 of his career. So what narrative, in a sense, can Luka Doncic complete that the other two and the guys in front of him can't? I don't know how different it can be, but he sure as hell has his holy crap moments when you hit that game winner two times in the same game on national TV in dramatic fashion the way he did. Of course, that's going to get people's attention. We know the advanced analytics and the statistics that Luka Doncic is putting up. Like, they're unbelievable. But so are Nikola Jokic's, and he's not even being considered because that team doesn't win. So I can throw every statistic and bullet point that you give me why Luka Doncic should win the MVP. I can probably match that with Nikola Jokic even before I get to the winning part of it. So the number at plus 1,100 is probably a little short just because of the mountain this guy has to climb in terms of narrative and winning.
Yeah, I'm with you on that one. Staying with Dallas, the guy that used to play in New York, you know, the one that was traded away and all New York Knicks fans don't want to talk about him, but it is Kristaps Porzingis. Now we're hearing all these rumors about maybe Dallas wants to move on from him. I saw a report about it's his family that's really being the nuisance in all of this. What are you hearing about Porzingis?
It must be a day ending in Y when his brother's getting involved in the media. It starts to get messy. Knicks fans know this more than anything because his brother... his family oversees the management of his marketing and his agent and all the above. So if that's true, I don't know if that's true, but if it's true, it wouldn't surprise me because we've been down this road before. With Porzingis, ever since he's come back from the knee injury that he had, it sure seems like he's lost his bounce a little bit in a couple of ways, because Knicks fans were used to him being Mount Zingis, protecting the rim, jumping, living 13 feet above the hoop, like catching alley-oops, looking like Mitchell Robinson currently does for the Knicks. And then once he got hurt and came back, the eye tells you that it sure seems like he's out there just shooting 30-footers all day. What is a 7'3" guy doing 30 feet from the rim 40 minutes a night? And he's not down on the post. He's getting pushed out of the block because he doesn't have the core strength to stay down there with some of the guys. And he is the single worst on-ball defender in the NBA, according to Second Spectrum, when he's guarding out at the three-point line. Like, he could not guard his own shadow at this point. So if he's not defending the rim, the secret is out that he can't guard anyone out at the three. And now that so many big guys are able to shoot threes, they're pulling Porzingis away from the rim. So what value does he really have? Sure, he's got plenty, and he's still the 7'3" guy that no one can influence his shot because he's a taller human than you. And the way at his current skill level, he makes it difficult a lot for the offensive side, but he's not putting himself in the situations in which allow him to be great. So I'm going to give it time because we're still in, you know, year one with the Mavericks, and they're married. There is a ring on the finger. They gave him a massive deal. So if anyone's going to trade for that, you're going to have to essentially divorce, get married without a prenup, because you know what this dude is making. That's where we stand with Porzingis, my friend.
Single worst. Whenever there's a tagline that goes with single worst, that's bad. Hey, so Draymond Green made some news this past week, obviously the technical fouls and getting ejected, but also there was this stat running around that nobody in the NBA has ever averaged more than 8 assists per game for an entire season. And what was it? Less than 6 points and less than 6 rebounds, whatever it was. Last night, he goes off for 19 assists. He's starting to get double digits points. We'll get those numbers. How important is he to what the Warriors are going to be able to do this year?
He's always been the most, even during the death lineup days, he's been the most important, not valuable, but most important player on the Golden State Warriors. He is the oil that made the engine run. So you have the headliners and Steph Curry, Klay Thompson, and Kevin Durant during those days. But Draymond Green has always filled in the holes, at least on the defensive side. He is that free-flowing, improv-form style of basketball on the offensive side where he's setting off the ball screens for Klay and Steph. He's always in the right place at the right time. There is no coincidence. The ball always finds him in the right spot at the right time. And in regards to his assists, now that it's pretty much just him, Curry, you get Wiggins and Oubre some nights, and he's coaching Wiseman simultaneously on the court. You know, we're getting him mic'd up, coaching Wiseman during these plays. You know, this is the value of Draymond Green. And there was a clip the other night from the Indiana Pacers game where Draymond Green gets the ball at the very top of the three-point line without anyone within 10 yards of him. He doesn't look to shoot, not because he doesn't want to. I'm sure he doesn't want to, but when you have Steph Curry on your team, the priority is always going to be, how can I find this guy and get him the ball in a position to shoot and make a basket? So instead of even thinking about shooting, Draymond Green forces the ball to the corner. It's a perfect pass, but he gets Steph Curry coming off what looked like an elevator screen. It was off camera, gets the ball in the corner for a contested three, and it's a bucket. So that counts as an assist, but he always knows the right play to make, even if technically the analytics are probably against it. The Warriors just play a different breed of basketball. And when you have 5 15-plus assist games in 1 month, Draymond Green is not a point guard. Draymond Green is certainly not a scorer, but Draymond Green has always done what is necessary to get the win. It could be ugly. It could be pretty. It could be somewhere in between. All that dude cares about is getting to the finish line. So God bless him.
Bro, we got 15 seconds. Should it have been Sabonis or Trae Young added to the East roster really fast?
Sabonis.
Yeah,
Sabonis carries that team.
I agree. Yep. You're the man. We'll catch up again next week. There he is, Worldwide Wob. More next, Betting Around the Rim.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
This is literally the most fun I have at all doing things. This show, Betting Around the Rim, we have a blast. It is Keith Irizarry. Can't believe 2 hours have already flown by. Obviously, shout out to Chris and John behind the scenes and James doing his thing as well. Big Game James is what he would like us to call him. So James is running our boards now. I guess we'll give him Big Game James for now. I was leaning a little bit more towards Jimbo or something like that, but we'll give him Big Game James. Let's get into some best bets before we say goodbye. We'll go to the NBA first. I want to go to the prop market, and this is an odd one, but I'll give you some good reasons as to why, and there's a little bit of value there too. Actually pays plus money. How about Steven Adams over 9.5 rebounds against the San Antonio Spurs? You say, Keith, why? I say he's averaging 9.2, so he's right there. Last two games has 15 rebounds and 13 rebounds in those two games. So you like that. Then we go to the San Antonio side of things. They're 29th in rebounds allowed, 30th in defensive rebounds allowed. So it sounds like, crunching all those numbers together, Steven Adams, grab those boards. If for nothing else, you also know that Zion kind of doesn't, and someone needs to. So give me some Steven Adams. Let's go to the college slate, and I want to take a look at Tennessee and Auburn. The Tigers have lost 6 of their last 7 games. They are struggling, basically waving the white flag, and Tennessee needs this win oh so badly. Auburn, 222nd in three-point shooting. Tennessee, they can shoot the ball. Tennessee 33rd in field goal percentage allowed. They are clearly a great defensive team. Auburn 306th in taking care of the ball. Tennessee forces the 18th most turnovers in America. Put it all together. Tennessee wins. Tennessee covers the 7.5 points. And the Volunteers are rolling along. They're back at it. We're done, man. That's it. That's a Saturday in the books. Back at it again tomorrow, 10 a.m. to noon Eastern. I am Keith Irizarry again for my entire team here. Remember, if you can't trust me, how can you trust yourself? Good luck on all your bets today. Have some fun. Sit back and enjoy. We'll see you tomorrow. Later, guys.